Marcella Sembrick Memorial Association, founded in 1940, honors international opera singer Marcella Sembrick, who lived from 1858 to 1935 at her former teaching studio in Woodland Retreat on Lake George. The Sembricks' 2018 season is entitled A World in Harmony, and it includes intimate concerts, recitals, and lectures in the historic Sembrick Studio and film screenings at the Bolton Library. Artistic director Richard Wargo is making his 27th summer at the Sembrick, and he joins us now with a preview of the summer's offerings. What a great pleasure to have you back.
Oh, it's great to have you. I have to say, I liked your reaction when you saw our theme and you said, if only.
Yeah.
Well, that's sort of the theme of our summer, in a way. I mean, directly, we take inspiration from the events of 1918 and the armistice that brought World War I to a close. But in a larger sense, I mean, what we're trying to highlight throughout the summer is the power of music to bring people together. So, like I say, I liked your if only.
if only. Well, this idea of in harmony, and it would be lovely, but if there were that in a more general sense. But of course, you're right that music does bring us together, and certainly brings these wonderful audiences together, as it has to the Sembrick for so long. I 27th summer. That's a nice run.
Well, I guess you get to the point where you stop counting, but it's been a great joy to be there. I was originally invited as a composer before we really had too many programs there, mm-hmm. Because if anyone has been, it's a, like you said earlier, it's a woodland retreat, and similar to McDowell Colony or Yaddo, a place where as a composer I would go and I would give daily tours and as a curator look after the museum, but I had time during the days to compose, and now I have that time is late at night because the days are very full, but as they should be with the roster of performers we have coming up. It's a very exciting summer ahead.
What goes into putting that summer together?
Well, again, I refer to myself as being invited to the Sembrick as a composer, and I view a season like a big blank piece of manuscript paper. You have a theme, and then as you go through the summer with the contrasting movements, different concerts that have variety, and theme and variations, as I might in a composition. So I bring my composer sensibility very much to my work as artistic director.
So let us talk about this season. And as I mentioned, of course, A World in Harmony. So what does that for you? What does that give you an opportunity to perform?
Well, specifically, related specifically to 1918, there are some key works that we're presenting, namely Elgar's Piano Quintet, written during the final months of the war, and a large work by Ravel, a piano suite, called From the Tomb of Couperin, that Christopher Johnson, a returning favorite of ours up on Lake George, is learning specifically for this performance. That's a piano suite that Ravel wrote, and each movement is dedicated to a different friend of the composer who perished fighting during the war. And it's interesting, you describe the piece and people might think, oh, how what a elegiac concert that would be. But when it was first premiered, Ravel came in for some criticism because of its lighthearted moments. They thought he was being not respectful of the dead, and it's interesting. Ravel responded, "The dead are sad enough in their eternal silence." So he has movements of lightness and charm along with more serious themes in that. So specifically, we have works related to 1918, but beyond that, just a whole range of different music that relates in some way to that harmony theme. I like to think of Ferré, for instance, whose music is just so beautiful. He was challenged by his compatriot Saint-Saëns during World War I to join in a boycott of German music. And he said something to the effect that music occupies a country so far above the rest that it is dragged down when it has to express traits of one particular country. And in a sense, getting back to Elgar, too. When I hear Elgar, like one of the first adjectives that would come to mind is Brahmsian. And there we have, German and English supposedly at war, But certainly the borders didn't prevent the musical sharing of cultures. And again, that's what we do at the Semberg, both through the classical repertoire, through the world music, just express that whole world in harmony theme, I think, throughout the summer.
This is, talk a little bit about the Semmerich. The history of this place is amazing. You run not only as a museum, but as a venue.
Right.
And that's a dual mission, isn't it?
It is. And also, we have a wonderful groundskeeper. As soon as you enter the property, it's like entering a nature preserve. It's really a very special spot. And it's only 4 acres of what was once a 14-acre lakeside estate owned by the great Polish soprano Marcella Semberg. And again, getting back to the war, 1914, Semberg left and really never lived in Europe after that because of the war, because of all these conflicts. But she found, first on Lake Placid and then on Lake George, an alternative to those beautiful European mountain regions with lakes and such. And she made that her home during the last decade of her life. And as such, she wanted a place during the summer for her students to come and share in the summers with her and continue their studies. So on the side of a boathouse, she had a lovely music room built, and that's what remains today, the studio and 4 acres of the surrounding forest right on the lake. It's really a magical spot, really so beautiful.
Let me ask the crass questions. Did she make that kind of money?
She did.
Yeah. From performing?
Yeah. At the turn of the century, she would get maybe $1,000 to $1,500 a performance. That's pretty good in 1900 mm-hmm. salaries.
And not her sole residence, though, or was it?
Her sole
residence, or did she have another home? But was it her summer home?
This was her summer home. I'm sorry. Yes, she lived on 151 Central Park West in those days. She owned a floor of a beautiful apartment, brownstone, overlooking Central Park, and she loved to walk in the park every day, even into her later years. Again, this is after 1914, you know, she settled. During these years, she founded the Juilliard School of Music Voice Department and the Curtis Institute of Music Voice Department as well. So she lived essentially in New York then from that point, and then would summer on Lake George.
So let it be a lesson to all of the kids out there. You can become an opera star and make a fortune.
You can. But I have to add, though, you know, Semberg's life, you know, she has a really fascinating life and experienced a great deal of turmoil and such. And as soon as she escaped from Europe when World War I started, she founded the first Polish-American Relief Committee. And all throughout her career, she was very, always would go to bat for various charities, whether it's flood relief or for the Association for the Blind. After the San Francisco earthquake, when she was on tour with the Met there, she stepped forward and did a benefit to help her colleagues in the orchestra and chorus that lost everything in the fire following the earthquake to replace them. So she was, yes, she made a good living as one of the great opera stars of her day, but she also was very charitable.
So for her job as, for your job as artistic director, do you sort of put it through that litmus test of well, what would Marcella think?
Often, yes, and then another point though is, you know, we're a museum and we're part of history, so I think as we go forward, as protecting her legacy and all, we also want to find out more about her life. And for instance, the point I make is occasionally I go to New York to the archives where to read more about her life and to research various seasons. And there are very personal letters, for instance, when her first son died in Europe and she was in America and couldn't be with him, heart-wrenching letters and such that are part of her history. And that sort of history was never on display in the museum because it was founded by her daughter-in-law. That was not, in those days, in the late 30s, was not something that you talk about. These are private things. But as we go into the 21st century, we're always looking to learn more. And I'm always learning more about her fascinating life, including more personal aspects like that. So to answer your question in kind of a roundabout way, probably Marcella would not necessarily want us to discuss things like that. But as history, this makes her human. These are the things that people want to learn about her life.
The Sembrix 2018 season is a world of harmony. It offers events through August. To learn more, just go to thesembrick.org. That is spelled S-E-M-B-R-I-C-H. S-E-M-B-R-I-C-H. It's thesembrick.org. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Artistic Director Richard Wargo, a great pleasure to have you here as always.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Have a beautiful season, and we'll see you for the 28th.
Look forward to it.
Excellent. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.